Hi, this is Robert Kiyosaki, and you're listening to Capital Hacking with Josh and Eric. This is the most important thing you can listen to today.
On today's episode of Capital Hacking.
Money is never an issue. It's never an issue. When you're building wealth or when you are building a business, it's all about relationships. Because if you bring value to the people around you, and if you're building a business or if you're looking for deals, when you find something where there's value, there are people who want to be on the journey with you, because everybody wins when everybody wins. Money is not a person. It's a pawn in the game that we play of life to help us get to where the person that we want to be and then to where we want to be financially. And the better you become at understanding and creating a better relationship with money, the easier it is for you to build a business and to find money.
Here's the one.
I have a dream.
With great power comes great responsibility.
I could do this all day.
This is it. Don't get scared now.
They may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom.
Cinderella's story, out of nowhere.
It's in the hole.
That the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Welcome back to Capital Hacking. We are on assignment today. Eric, thanks for flying into California. Well, actually, no, we're not in California. We're in Steamboat Springs, Colorado. Holy shnikes, you'd think we were jet setters or something. We're not. Eric, it's good to have you here.
It is always good, and it's good to travel with you, my friend. It's a different experience when we're all together.
Yep.
And we're together with our guests, which we are today. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, no, so here we are at this GoBundance event, and there's a gentleman who I've known for 2 to 3 years. Always watch him. He's just a type A energetic person. You just want to be around Aaron West. So I thought we should get him on. And as we started saying, Aaron, would you be on the show? Wait until you hear where his heart is today, listeners, because it's exactly what we all need to step back and realize is that there is a code here. There is something that helps you crack the code and build past scarcity, get to a little bit of abundance. We're going to help the whole world come to another level of that understanding today with Aaron West. But before I bring him on the stage, Aaron West is one of the top real estate agents in his market. He has a big team, and today is really leading the team. He called it from the forest perspective. He's no longer in the trees. He's got incredible systems, and I had to have him back on the show. So welcome on the show, Aaron.
Thank you. Looking forward to it.
So, Eric, I mean, we got this guy. Again, you probably don't even know this, but like 3 years ago, I joined GoBundance, and Aaron and Daniel Del Real and their families were at FamBundance. And you had some great boys, and everybody just seemed like you guys were clicking on all cylinders. And I always wanted to hear some wisdom from the journey. So
then you should probably talk to my wife.
Okay.
Yeah, Aaron, we really appreciate you joining us at the last call here. And we usually like to ask our guests the very first question, which, what was the radioactive bug that bit you and turned you into the ongoing entrepreneur, not going into the corporate world and staying away from whichever?
Yeah, you know, I grew up with, I'm the oldest of 6 kids, and my dad was a salesman. My grandfather was a salesman. So they just always really had a gift of understanding people and being able to communicate with people. And I worked for my dad for a long time and then was going to get married, not to my wife now, but you know, when you work for your family, the last person that gets paid is family.
Right.
So I started working for a jewelry store and had a really successful career with them and had some really amazing mentors that really honed my sales skills. And it was kind of funny because I would tell people when I was in the store, this, you're working with me, this is my business. And I just woke up one day and I realized that I was helping other people get wealthy with the tools and skills that I had learned and honed and created, and that I was going to do so much better if I controlled my destiny versus always having a ceiling when you work for a company that you just can't control.
Well, and by the way, I love the fact that your family's from sales. So we're in the middle of your story here for a minute, but I want to ask you to just hone in on that for a minute. So 10 years, very successful, probably lucrative. I imagine you were making great money, so you were happy.
Yeah.
That realization where you said, I'm making good money, but I'm not owning what I'm making. That was the itch that you're saying.
Yeah, I left, you know, I was making a solid six figures and just quit cold turkey and got into the real estate industry. So it was a sink or swim. You know, my sons were three and one when I left, and I just made a bet and just jumped in.
So somebody must have told you to think about real estate. Yeah. Where, how did real estate even show up on the jeweler's mind?
You know, that's funny. My father-in-law's been in real estate since the 80s. And so my wife grew up either feast or famine in the real estate industry. And we were talking, and this is 05, so we were talking about buying a new home and flipping it.
Okay.
And so that's kind of how the conversation came up. And my father-in-law, I reached out to him, and he said, Aaron, that will be a huge mistake if you do that, because that's not your world. He said, I wouldn't wish real estate on my worst enemy, but you need to be doing real estate.
What?
And so that just kind of started this steamroll where I started looking at the possibilities of what comes from owning your own business and building a career and building a foundation. Yeah. And then from that. And so, yeah, just he said something to me and I just ran with it.
The biggest challenge I always find, you know, especially anyone who's doing something drastically different, you know, and the concepts and the ideas and having the right mentors or people around you that can encourage you and give you confidence that you can barrel through anything that might come your way. What was it in terms of your mindset that set you on the path and gave you confidence to do it?
You know, I think it was probably because there was success in the industry that I had and had really built a following of people. When I left the jewelry industry, I, you know, stayed in touch with all of my contacts, and I can't tell you how many husbands were like, Aaron, best thing that ever happened to me was you quitting the jewelry industry, because I can only buy a house from you once in my life, or maybe twice. And cause I was hitting them all the time. And so just understanding that as hard as I was willing to work,
that's amazing.
It's been 16 years and I still have clients that are like, I've not bought another piece of jewelry since you left. And so understanding that, you know, just I had the ability to create the success, and I had the blueprint as far as all business is people.
Yep.
All business is sales. And so it was just a matter of taking those people and helping them understand that I was still going to be their advocate. It was just in another industry. And it took a while to do that, but I also had faith and was playing the long-term game.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is something that shows up a lot on our show, because capital hacking is about, we talk a lot about it, human capital. We think that's the secret that most people who want to get rich don't quite realize, that, or they want to have wealth and abundance. They think it's all about knowing a rich friend or from a rich family, or they invent something. Isn't that the funny thought that my own family, whenever they're like, we're going to get rich by inventing something, and they mean like a device. And I'm like, but you don't even know how to build a shoebox. Yeah. I mean, what are you going to build? But my point is, I think growing up, I always thought the people who got rich invented a computer type thing or a software. But my point is, it really comes down to the applying of your human capital, and you knew sales. And anyone listening, right there is already the price of admission. Sales are good. And if you hone your sales skills, which is a gift. I mean, we're big fans of sales. We talk about it positively in our culture, in our companies. You clearly have that gift. And once you have that gift, truthfully, you could own a business, because businesses start with sales.
I want to add, you know, because Josh loves, you know, the human capital and how it attracts cash capital. You know, that's one of our main mantras. But I also love the wonderful side effect, if you're doing it right, is the human capital before leading to cash capital, the relationship capital. And right in sales,
it's all everything. Money, and we were talking about this a little bit earlier, money is never an issue. It's never an issue. When you're building wealth, or when you are building a business, it's all about relationships. Because if you bring value to the people around you, or if you're building a business, or if you're looking for deals, when you find something where there's value, there are people who want to be on the journey with you, because everybody wins when everybody wins.
And what's funny, because Aaron is so good, obviously, at building strong relationships, because they were following you from the jewelry.
Yeah, they did, didn't they?
That was the whole foundation of my business, was
anything
that
you were doing there. So, I mean, go jump into blockchain and Bitcoin. They're following you, right? Because the relationships.
That's complicated. That's like my family thinking we're going to invent toys or devices. Don't worry about blockchain yet.
But yeah, I could clearly see, and I can clearly feel, and especially when we're having these conversations in person, by the way, you know, you can feel the genuine, like concern and the value and all the wonderful things that come around building a strong relationship and building the trust, right? Can you speak a little bit to how you build trust with not just, you know, friends and family, but obviously with clients?
You know, I think a lot of it is, and this is a total, this could be an hour show easy, but you know, understanding how people tick. And there's people who think emotionally, and then there's people who think logically, right? And then there are people who are hot and are fast, and people that are cold. And so depending on who you're talking to, if you have a conversation that comes from your brain, if you're talking to someone who's analytical, or from your heart, if you're talking to somebody who is emotional, you communicate differently with those people because you're resonating and speaking their love language, right? And so, so that's something that, depending on who I talk to, it's a conscious decision of where that conversation is coming from. And when I'm talking to somebody, or we're having a conversation about with someone who is a feeler, or that family and friends are most important, you know, it's a conversation that comes from the heart. I'm touching my chest right now. It's a conversation that comes from the heart, and it's we and us, and how do we make this successful? And we're going to do this together. Whereas if you're talking to someone who's analytical, that doesn't resonate with them at all. They're like, well, what do you mean? How do I feel? That's just, I think that as you learn how to communicate with people and bring value to them in the language that they listen to, then there's just so much more opportunity. And again, the ability to create a beautiful win-win.
So we jump into real estate, you build that great program. And now you're at a point where you're looking back. I mean, you've gone from being strong, probably good income, to now in a bit of an abundance. You're in GoBundance. You're constantly thinking about philanthropy and giving back, and also your family and relationships. And you're really thinking about the whole picture of life now. I mean, that's what kind of GoBundance is all about. So tell us what's going on now. I mean, when we stopped you earlier today, I mean, your heart was just exploding for this whole new way of communicating how to build abundance in each other's lives.
You know, I love talking about money. And I was telling you, I ask everybody I meet what their net worth is, where, how much they have in the savings account. And the reason for that is that, you know, when you go out to dinner with the family, the three things you don't talk about are politics, money, and sex, right? And if you have to talk about one of those three, it's going to be politics before you talk about the other two. But the reality is that most people attach an emotion to money. They're either less than, or they, if they have money, they don't want to be the braggart. One of my really good friends who's wealthy said that, you know, the whale that comes to the surface gets harpooned.
Ooh.
Right? But the reality is to another whale, it's just another whale. And so everybody has the ability to have a money conversation. And then once you do, Now you can help each other. So if there's someone that's worth $10 million talking to someone who's a million, and they know where they are, that person can give value to that person. Or if you're a millionaire, or you're worth $100,000 and you're talking to someone who's broke, you have the ability to give perspective on the steps that you took to get to further your journey. And so I'm just really passionate about people understanding that money is not a person. It's a pawn in the game that we play of life to help us get to where the person that we want to be, and then to where we want to be financially.
Yeah, I mean, and so, you know, I want to keep going down this rabbit hole. So I'm putting a devil's advocate on. I'm the person listening to this that is joined the Capital Hacking Group and organization and tribe. And it's just like, I need to know how money works because I need to buy a business because I know that could be valuable, or I need to buy a real estate piece. You know, here, how did you come to these types of revelations, and how would you modify your explanation to that person who's kind of struggling at the beginning right now? How would you help them?
we all have a relationship with money, right? There are savers and then there are spenders. I was a balls to the wall spender, and that comes from a place of fear. It's a fear of having money, right? You don't feel comfortable with money, so you do everything in your power to get rid of it. That's how I lived most of my life. Savers, on the other hand, are the ones that people reward because they're like, oh, you've got $50,000 in the bank, but they live in a total place of fear also. They're afraid of losing money. And so you've got these two ends of the spectrum when it comes to money. And then many people fall into, you know, different places in that spectrum. But for the most part, there's fear of loss or fear of having somewhere in there. And I think it was coming to the realization, and truthfully, it was because someone asked me what my dad's relationship with what my dad's relationship was with money, because I was talking to one of my mentors and I said, Brian, I don't understand why I can't keep money. I know how to make it, but I can't keep it. And he said, what's your dad's relationship with money? And we were talking about this in the hallway. The movie Inside Out is one of my favorite movies ever. It's the first movie actually that doesn't have a bad guy in it. There's no villain in Inside Out.
I guess you're right.
But the premise of it, if you haven't watched it, you should watch the movie, is that your memories are marbles that just get stored in your brain. And how many of us have marbles that we don't even know are there that are influencing how we feel, our relationship, and our decisions about money? And until you start to understand that if you're a saver, you're afraid of losing money, so you don't invest, you just save. And the other extreme as well, until you start to understand that relationship, you can't address it. So if you want to build a business and you don't have money, there's a reason you don't have money. There's something in your DNA that you find normal, most likely because your parents were that way, or you're the exact opposite of your parents because you didn't want to be that. And the better you become at understanding and creating a better relationship with money, the easier it is for you to build a business and to find money and to, we talked about gamifying money, right? So I think that's the toughest part about this whole wealth building journey, is that we're all so jacked up in some way and we have nobody to talk to about it.
I think that's your, I put a pin on that one.
Hi, this is Melanie McCallan. Josh and I are just so grateful for the many investors who already joined us at Accountable Equity. Accountable Equity is so much more than a capital group. It's really a community of accredited investors that want to learn and grow together. I just want to personally invite you, if you want to find out more about this type of investment and see if it's right for you and your family, please visit us at accountableequity.com.
Hey, it's Hal Elrod, author of The Miracle Morning, and you're listening to Capital Hacking with Josh and Eric. Enjoy.
I think the thing you want us to take away from today is it's important to find people to talk to about money.
And they're comfortable around having the conversations because most people are not comfortable.
And you know, the thing that I found too is that it's like talking to your kids about sex, right? It's only uncomfortable if you make it uncomfortable. If you just sit down and you tell your son, what do you know about this? And they tell you, and then you say, well, that's kind of right. And then you just have the conversation with them and it's not awkward. Then they move forward and it's not awkward. And the same thing is true with money. When I ask people what their net worth is, I truly don't care what that number is. But I know that they've never had that conversation before. Mm-hmm. So when they can tell that I'm not asking because I'm better than or less than, that it's truly coming from a place of insane curiosity, they're much more likely to have that conversation. And it's amazing how open people become after they've given you that. And there's always the deer in the headlights look. I'm like, so what's your net worth? And they're like, yeah. Did you just ask me that question? I'm like, yeah, where are you at? I mean, where are you at financially? You know, I truly want to know.
What's amazing what you were saying earlier, and I just wanted to highlight that. And then I do want to talk about a couple of things here. I'm going to put a pin in the gamification, but then also wanted to go deep on, you know, about the psychology of money, that you mentioned that when you were talking to an individual that said, yeah, my net is 15 million, it was also a celebration, whereas a lot of people, and then that's what I love so much about GoBundance, is that we can talk about these things and celebrate our wins without feeling self-conscious, because around the barbecues with friends and family, we can't talk about these things because mm-hmm. it's so foreign to most people. And we don't look at each other and judge, right?
And I would argue that for just a second.
Please. I was wondering if you were going to argue that. I agree with Eric, but I can't wait to hear your rebuttal.
In that, you will be surprised at how many people you know have wealth and have success and have a relationship with money that they have nobody to talk to. I can't tell you, my son's high school teacher asked me to speak to the high school kids. So him and I went to coffee and I said, what's your net worth? And he, of course, gave me that deer in the headlight. He's a high school teacher and they're worth like $850,000 because he's a saver. But he, in his whole life, has never had a conversation with anybody about money. And so it opened up this whole conversation of how if he were a little bit less, if he had less ownership of his money and more stewardship of his money, and he didn't hold on to it like I'm afraid of losing it, and he took part of that and said, that's my kid's money, or just gamified in his head a little bit to where he would be able to invest it in safe investments, how much easier it would be for him to take that wealth and compound on it. And then I have people that I ask that conversation, have that conversation with, that start crying because they're broke and they're like where I was, where they have no idea why they are the way that they are. And so it opens up this whole world of everybody wants to talk about it. Nobody has the balls to talk about it at the end of the day.
Yeah.
I got to follow up on this. So to go back to Eric's question, you're okay bringing up this net worth question at a random mixed company of friends, family, brothers, sisters, people you don't know?
Anybody. 2 weeks ago, I was in Napa with Daniel Del Real, a good buddy and a GoBundance guy. And we were sitting at a table. And then right next to us was another lady and her friend. And she had these cool horn-rimmed glasses. And I was like, can I try those on? So we start talking. No fear. And I asked her what her net worth was.
How'd they look, by the way?
Oh, they were awesome. They were like real bone horn-rimmed glasses. Oh, wow. They were legit.
I don't know what you guys are talking about. Apparently, you guys know what you're talking about.
They're awesome.
Fancy dances.
So anyway, we started talking. Come to find out, she's worth $1.5 million. She has an Academy Award. She did the makeup for Star Trek Generations, that movie. And it just opened up this whole world. And I said, you don't have to answer. I said, I don't care what the number is. She said, I know you don't care. That's why I'll tell you. Because she could see that it was just a deep question to ask somebody versus all the BS that we talk about all the time.
I'm sure people are like, I'm rubber, you're glue, whatever you ask me. What's your net worth, Aaron?
I'll say that. You know, I can't ask a question if I'm not willing to answer it. And I was teaching a high school class. There was like 50 kids, and we were talking about wealth and going through all this kind of stuff. And one of the kids in the background was like, what's your net worth? And I was like, oh, you're that guy. I know who that guy is. But I answered and they're all like, dude, but it's just a number.
Yeah. I do want to get to the gamification, but I wanted to kind of go deep on this because it's a personal thing. And it's also something that I've recognized within a lot of people in our circle, in business and in life, and in any regard of someone who has relative success, is that when you make money and you get to a certain level and you plateau, right? And a lot of reason that I'm here and a lot of reason that a lot of people here in GoBundance are trying to reach the next level, right? There's so many people that we can look up to and learn from, is worth, your self-worth. A lot of people don't feel they deserve the money. They don't deserve success. So I just wanted to peel the layers back on your concept and idea about people who have that challenge and why they have that challenge.
It was a really hard struggle for me. Because I built my wealth and built our net worth on running from, right? I was running from being broke.
You got to explain that because I know what you're talking about. Go back and deeper about how you did your bank accounts and all that.
So, you know, once I started identifying that what my issues were, I started a bank account and I called it not my money. Like I labeled it in the bank. When you go in and look at your bank and it says savings, it said not my money. And I made the commitment that out of every paycheck that I got, I was going to put money into that. And it wasn't my money. It was for who I wanted to be and who I knew I had the ability to be down the road, but that I couldn't be if I didn't start making incremental changes. You know, you don't go from being a spender to a saver. It's like going from 400 pounds to being Miss America. That doesn't happen because you make the decision and do a bunch of changes. It's little changes that you put into place. So I would, as soon as I had enough money in that account to where I felt the itch of like, that's got to go somewhere, I would find something to invest in so that I felt broke again. And it just kind of became this boring wash, rinse, repeat. And then I woke up one day to your question, Eric, is I woke up one day and I was like, I'm not broke and I can't convince myself I'm not broke anymore, right? And so there was this period of kind of truly just languishing and then coming to the understanding that running towards is so much more powerful than running away from.
That's beautiful.
And it really made a huge difference in my ability to continue to create wealth and that plateau that you talk about. I feel like I kind of just jumped past that plateau in that journey, because as soon as you understand that water is like money and that when you start to live in abundance, and it's not necessarily meaning that you're spending a bunch of money, it's how you approach life and how you approach money, that there's, you know, the law of attraction, or I think more accurately, it's that your brain starts to open up right to the possibilities and the opportunities that you were closed to before. And so that transition from running from being broke to running to wealth was a very difficult one, but it's also the place where opportunities start happening, and much faster and much easier when you start coming from abundance and you're running towards wealth.
I think that I could listen to you for a while. So I get a little tranced over and tranced, but I want to, let's do some pragmatic. Let's ask some pragmatic questions. So for a minute, back to the money is like water. Listen, again, I've come from scarcity many times in my life. So to me, money is not like water yet. You know, I'm trying to understand your metaphor. Could you describe it that way? Because for us, you've said it actually earlier in the day when we met up, I'm not attached to money. I definitely use it as a scorecard though. So I think that's what you mean by gamification.
Yes.
I actually always see it as collateral to build the next part of our company. So I feel like we're on a calling to build a business that supports families, that has great jobs, and is extremely world-class in what it does. So to me, I don't personally think about the money that should be coming to us. And a little spoiler alert, I do not take it out of the company. It's just there to buoy resources like salaries. It's there to buoy the rainy day. And we live almost like we've lived for 5 years, very humbly.
So do I. You know, my wife and I in our journey, we came to the point as these disciplines started to happen, we said, what is the number for us to live a comfortable life that we can just live on? And we've stayed in that number for the last 5 years. Anything that the company did or an investment did or any of that savings money that we were putting away, all of that became not my money. And it's like, how can I take that money and continue to show stewardship of that money and build wealth? And so we did Beautiful. And are doing the exact same thing as you. I hate the word budget. I think it's the worst word.
Yeah, it sounds negative, doesn't it?
It is a negative word. A budget is a negative word to the majority of humans out there. But so I, in a brain trick, said, this is my salary and I get paid X amount of dollars a month, and that's my salary, and we live on it, and we live comfortably, but we've been living on that same number for 5 years now,
and
that's
grows.
What's allowed me, as the business grows, as the investment grows, all of that other money, because it's not mine, I can now have stewardship of that money and play with that money. My money is the salary that I get every month. That's Aaron's future money. So what are the opportunities with that money to continue to build wealth?
Yeah, I mean, that's a cool, think about how much work we're talking about. We're talking about telling our brain certain things and then even creating a bank account called Not My Money. I almost feel like
that's how I say it. Not my money.
Not My Money. It's like, but it's beautiful. I keep thinking of all the different titles we could call this show. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
That is good. Your marketing brain is in full force. You guys are on the same page about something here where you were talking about, budget is a negative word. And as you were talking, I'm trying to figure out, okay, I don't think that, but I understand it.
No, you're allowed to not
think.
I'm
putting my own definition, and I need you guys to help me, is that Is budget negative because it puts limitations on us?
Feels that way. It feels like an artificial limit on your creativity. I guess that's where my head is.
And for me, when most people think budget, they think cutting themselves down to the bone.
Yes, that's
they
true.
They say, what is the absolute minimum that I can live on? And then they put themselves, they give themselves numbers that aren't realistic because they're like, I can live on $400 a month in
food
right. when it is going to be $450. And so they're setting themselves up for success. And that's why for the majority of people, budgeting doesn't work because like for very analytical people, that's their love language. They love the numbers. But for most of us, real talk, that's not the world that we live in. Whereas we just said, we have X amount of dollars to spend, however we spend it. But when we reach the 26th of the month and that money's gone, we're broke until we get the next paycheck.
Oh, you actually live like that even?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that means the only reason I'm surprised by that is because so much of what we do is passes through credit cards and things like that. So how do you run out of money when you have credit cards? I mean,
that's what my sons ask my wife. You know, I have a son that loves peanut butter and he's almost 17 now and he looks like the Hulk. I mean, he is just a monster. So he goes through
in
peanut butter
way.
Like, yeah. Oh yeah, no, he is.
These are handsome.
No, he's like
good-looking
deformed
fellas.
And no, I'm just kidding.
He's got this greenish
hoon. But we'd run out of peanut butter and it'd be the 24th or the 25th and he'd be like, let's go get some more peanut butter. And my wife's like, no, we don't have money. We'll get it on the first. And that's just
Thank
the
God
commitment
that.
That we made was that's our salary.
That's
just like the rest of the world lives on. That's our salary.
So the gamification thing, can we pull the pin out of that one? Because I know you guys have we
what,
has
what,
the gamification
the
conversation been happening the whole
up.
Time? And I was just missing.
I think so. Because
a little bit.
Have we missed it?
A
Did we miss
bit.
The
you
point?
Know, I think that the secret for and just kind of going back to that savers versus spenders thing is that when you start to gamify and so there's two parts of this conversation. The first is ownership versus stewardship,
I like
right?
That.
Ownership is like when someone inherits a house and the kids don't have money, they immediately take ownership of that and they're like, I want my money right now. And then they go spend it because they've taken ownership of it. But if you put yourself in a place where as a person, if your best friend passed away and gave you $1 million and said, I want you to grow this for my 5-year-old daughter, you're going to take a very different path with that money. You have stewardship of that money. It's your obligation to try and make that grow and look for opportunities, right? And so when you get a really good relationship with money to where you don't have an emotional attachment to it, and then you set yourself up to where you have not my money or whatever that is, you now are having stewardship of that money versus ownership. So I look at my net worth 2 or 3 times a week, and not because it's who I am or I have any emotional attachment to it. I want my brain to understand that this is important to me and I want to take that money and make it grow. So by looking at it and knowing how much cash I have, what investments I have, how much my homes are worth, all of those different little pieces that all add up, I've gamified it in that I have no emotional attachment to it. And I think that's the secret is that once you're able to separate that, then it really does turn into a game. And it is fun. When you find an opportunity and you're like, ooh, right? And for me, another point too, for the people that are trying to build wealth, and this is one of the best pieces of advice that I ever received on my wealth building journey is that, you know, Gary Vee says, people want to get rich quick, but life is long, right? And so Tim Rode, who's actually one of the founders of GoBundance, early on in my career, he said, Aaron, hit Bates hits. Don't try and hit doubles. Don't try and hit triples. Don't try and hit home runs. If all you're doing is hitting base hits and you ignore all of those other swing for the fences one, you're going to be wealthy. Because if you look at just the analogy of baseball, the people who make the most money and that are in professional baseball for the longest are the guys that just step up and consistently hit base hits. And then every once in a while, the ball will crack off the bat and it's a double. And then every once in a great while, they'll hit 3 home runs a year, but they're in the game forever because all I look for is a fair return on my money. And if I can get that, that's a base hit. And if it means it's 10,000 and it's turning it into 11,000, That's a base hit, right? It all depends on where you are in your wealth building journey. A base hit looks very different to me now than it did 5 years ago, but it's still the exact same principle. I don't ever swing for the fence. I want a base hit to compound again and again and again and again. Smart. And that's how we've built our wealth.
You know, I think we definitely want to know. I mean, Aaron, I mean, the reason we had you on the show is because we care about you getting that message out. Just the fact that you're thinking about it, and what we want people to be able to do is look at money with a different relationship and change and question their first relationship to money. But if you would like, we'd love to share how people can reach back out to you in case they have questions. Is there how can people reach out to you or follow you?
Yeah,
I mean, I'm sure you're doing a lot of things
on
online.
On Instagram, it's theaaron.west. is where I am on Instagram. And, you know, this whole journey of mine of, you know, I think it goes survival, then stability, then success, then significance. And I'm just kind of getting to that point where for me to achieve significance, it's about helping as many Yep. people as possible. So like on my Instagram, we're just now starting to share that. And, you know, everybody asks me monetization and all that kind of stuff. I don't need money anymore. My goal is to start off by helping 100 people be millionaires, and not by giving them deals, but by having conversations where they start the journey themselves. And then from there, who knows how many people can be impacted. Kind of spider webs out.
What you just said there reminded me of a wonderful quote from The Go-Giver about, you know, your value and your money is directly related, or the money that you make is directly related to the amount of people that you serve and help. And when that hit me finally, I wish it were sooner, I realized, oh, wow, yeah, what you're saying. We just got to help as many people as we want. And money and compensation in any way that you want it will come.
So, that's so great. Thanks so much for being part of the tribe,
truly
buddy.
My pleasure, man. I appreciate it.
You're going to look good in one of these nice new Crack the Wealth Code shirts.
Thanks so much, Aaron. I will wear it with pride.
Thank you, buddy.
Appreciate it.
Wow. You made it, everybody. Thank you so much. Eric and I have always said that the people who join us at the end get the pearl and the prize.
Awesome. Folks, don't forget to like and share and love what we're doing on social media. If you want to hit up Josh, you want to hit me up, those are the best places to find us. We are always camped out and ready to talk and put the fire on.
We stand by on social media. But by the way, I know we're on Capital Hacking at Instagram, Capital Hacking on Facebook, and Capital Hacking on my personal favorite, LinkedIn.
Yes, because you can always find major players on LinkedIn. I know your favorite. These are some power players on LinkedIn always.
Gary Vee, he's my boy.
But Gary Vee also talks about the power of Instagram. So if you also want to find us there, we're doing a lot of really cool, sexy things on Instagram. So always you can reach out and DM us on Instagram if you have any questions or you want our time. We are always camped out and living there as well.
We will get right back to you. And just like we always say, you are now part of the team. This is a team that's here to add value to your life, and thank you for adding so much value to our life. Remember to share this podcast. Helps us grow it bigger and bigger each week, and we appreciate you posting a review on iTunes. You cannot believe how powerful that is.
Absolutely. Like and share this with anyone and everyone that you think it will add value to, and we appreciate all of that love and support. And do not forget, with great power comes great responsibility.
Woo!